We're continuing through this letter called 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing to this ancient church in Corinth. And to refresh your memory for those who haven't been with us for the past 3 weeks, what's been going on in this church is that things are quite messy. This church in Corinth isn't particularly a good place to be at the moment. And Paul is writing to this church and he's trying to pull them into line. He's trying to encourage them that church is still good, church is still worth it, even in that mess. And particularly the mess that's going on in the church in these first few chapters is that the church is very divided. The ancient Greeks, like the people in Corinth, they really prized wise teaching and they really prized eloquence and thoughtfulness. And in this church, they were dividing over which wise teacher to listen to, what sort of wisdom to follow. And there was lots of fighting and lots of tension. Who is the best person to listen to? What sort of wise teaching is best? Now, at first, when I think of this kind of ancient church, it seems kind of quite strange and odd to me that they would sit around sort of thinking about whose wisdom is best. Like, that's kind of an odd thing to do, isn't it? An odd sort of form of entertainment. But then I think, well, actually, what about our world today? Turn on your TV and we don't mind listening to people's analysis and insight, do we? I guess we're actually pretty interested in wisdom too. Or go to your local library or bookstore and you'll see a really big self-help section. That seems to be quite a popular way to seek wisdom. And then about 20 years ago or so, they invented this thing called social media. And then about 10 years ago, they invented this thing called TikTok, which came with this new trend of sort of all these short, punchy videos with all sorts of content. And you can sort of sit there on your phone or your device and watch something. And you can watch 100 different videos in about 20 minutes. And I look back at this ancient Greek people and think, oh, wasn't that funny that they all sat around just trying to think about whose wisdom was best? But isn't that exactly what I do when I open up my phone or device and try and seek the wisdom of the world? I know some of you won't have bad habits with your social media like me, but some mornings before I've even had breakfast, I've been on my phone, a video with some parenting tips, a video with some tips about how to eat enough protein, a video about how to install a new fireplace, a video about why living in the city is best, a video about why living in the country is best, a video with some parenting tips that were completely different to the first video, a video about how to stretch well in the morning, a video about what sort of couch I should buy, a video about what might happen in the Formula One tonight. And the video I never skip through is the video about how to get your lawn looking nice and green and lush. So isn't it funny, we kind of think about all these ancient people sitting around listening to wisdom. Oh, that's kind of weird, isn't it? We're much more sophisticated than that now, aren't we? No, isn't it interesting, actually, that we've always had an appetite for wisdom, and that certainly hasn't changed. I wonder if this is because deep down people have always been looking for the answers to the big sort of questions about life. You know, we're all different. We all have different sort of wisdom that we're interested in. And if we look at social media, we all have different algorithms that have different interests. But we all, I think, have some things in common, don't we? I think we all, deep down, it's the same sort of things that we might be looking for. So we all have mess in our lives. And so we're all looking for ways to handle that mess, how to handle that tricky friendship, or how to do the best for our kids in a messy situation, how to find some peace amongst all the complexity and the challenges that are going on. And then we all know that this life is not forever, so we're all trying to get the most out of it and find some joy in the midst of what's going on. You know, what sort of travel might I do? Or what's the best house I could build? Or what's the best sort of life I could live? What's best for me? And then I think a third thing maybe is we all want to be some part of something important. We all want to be part of something that's bigger than ourselves. So I might get really interested in a subculture or get excited by a political movement or back a particular sports team. And then we all need some sort of hope for the future, I think, whether it's hope of doing well financially or hope of getting really fit and living a long and healthy life, or maybe it's just the hope of life in a nice house with a lovely lawn out the back. We're all looking for wisdom. We're all looking for help with our mess. We're all looking for places to find joy. We're all looking for opportunities to be part of something meaningful. And we're all looking for hope for the future. And Paul says to the Corinthians, if you're looking for wisdom, you need to stop looking to all those other wise teachers and fighting and dividing about who's got the better answers. Because true wisdom, ultimate wisdom, real answers to those desires aren't found in humans figuring things out and posting videos online. True wisdom comes from God, and true wisdom has to be revealed to us by God. Now, if you have been with us these past few weeks, you'll know that what we're looking at in our passage today, it isn't a brand new topic that Paul's introduced. He's already been talking about wisdom and foolishness. He's already been talking about how God's wisdom is a wisdom that sometimes does look a little bit foolish. He's been talking about how God's strength is often better shown through weakness. But today the focus does change subtly, and it changes from sort of what is God's wisdom to now, how is God's wisdom received? How do we receive God's wisdom? How does it come to us? How do we understand God's wisdom? And I think the challenge for us with this passage today is that if there are so many sources of wisdom out there, so many places we can go looking for the answers to life's deep questions, well, do we really believe that God's wisdom is what we need? And if we do, then are we prioritizing listening to God's wisdom above and beyond all those other sources? Will we prioritize listening to God's wisdom above and beyond all those other sources? So we're going to spend some time today asking some questions of our Bible passage that Lucas has read for us. And I think these are the questions that Paul also has in his mind as he is writing for us. If it's God's wisdom that we want, God's wisdom that's revealed, well, first of all, what is it that's revealed? What is God's wisdom? And then secondly, how is God's wisdom revealed? Thirdly, who is it revealed to? And then finally, what should we do with God's wisdom if we have it? What is it that's revealed? How is it revealed? Who is it revealed to? And what should we do with God's wisdom if we have it? So first of all, what is God's wisdom that's revealed to us? We're going to have a look with me again at the first part of our passage from verses 6 to 10. You can see here in verse 6, there is a wisdom that we're speaking about, and it's not the wisdom that today's world leaders and important people are interested in. It's not the wisdom of this age. We could say it's not the sort of wisdom that goes viral online. But what we're talking about is God's wisdom. God's wisdom, and it's a wisdom that's been hidden. It's a mystery, as we heard in the kids' talk. And it's a mystery that's been hidden since before time began. We're talking about God's plan for the whole world, the great mystery of what God is doing in this world. This isn't just wisdom about the little things in life. This is wisdom about ultimate truth, what this world is, why are we here, what God wants for us, what is his plan for humanity. This is the sort of wisdom that we're talking about. And the big reveal for this mystery story, the big climax to God's plan, well, we already know what that is, don't we? Paul's already told us back in verse 23 of chapter 1, he's already reminded the Corinthians of it in verse 2 of chapter 2, that the thing that he has always wanted to focus on with them is God's wisdom, God's foolishness, the mystery that's now been revealed. It's God's power, it's the message of Jesus, and particularly the message of the cross. God's plan was always going to come together in this person of Jesus and at this moment as Jesus died and rose again. And what Jesus was going to do on the cross had always actually been hidden from even from God's people. You go back and read the Old Testament, and you read the Old Testament actually, and once you kind of know where it's heading, you can sort of see, oh, okay, I can see how this was always pointing to Jesus and always pointing to the cross. But it was hidden. They hadn't figured out the mystery. You might even remember in the Gospels, in the stories of Jesus, the mystery of the cross was still hidden, even as Jesus was walking among the people and teaching them. Jesus even had his followers, his disciples, who, you know, they loved Jesus, they liked what he said, they were impressed by his miracles, but even to the disciples, as Jesus was teaching them, the mystery of the cross was still hidden, wasn't it? Jesus had even just told them straight out that he was going to go to the cross and die, but, well, remember what Peter said when Jesus revealed that this was the answer to the mystery. Peter had even figured out Jesus was the Messiah. You know, he was all on board with Jesus. But when Peter heard about the cross, he said, oh no, that can't be right. He takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. The mystery of the cross and what it was to achieve was still hidden. And the mystery of the cross was still hidden even as Jesus went to his death. That's what Paul says here in verse 8. Those leaders, they thought that they were crucifying Jesus. They thought that as they were doing that, they were going to be stamping him out. They thought they were getting rid of him and putting an end to the disturbances he was causing. But little did they know, they were actually, in trying to get rid of Jesus, fulfilling the very reason he had come in the first place. Remember what Jesus said on the cross as he was about to die? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they were doing. I thought it was a great insight that I read from commentator Chris Wright this week. That is a true statement at a very deep level. They did not know what they were doing. They thought they were getting rid of Jesus. They didn't know they were fulfilling the very climax to the plan that's been in place since before the creation of the world. This was the moment of God's wisdom revealed, God's power revealed, and it's a shocking plot twist. It's a big mystery reveal that God's wisdom, God's power, God's plan, the answer is something that looks very weak and foolish. God's great wisdom and God's great power comes through this act of he himself being put to death on a cross. We said before that all of us at a deep level are looking for maybe some of the same things, how to find joy. We want to be part of something bigger. We want to deal with our mess. We want to look for hope in the future. Well, this moment, the cross, this big reveal of God's plan for the world, isn't it amazing that it answers all of those deepest desires? We want to deal with our mess. Well, mess and brokenness and sin is paid for at the cross. We want true joy. That is found by knowing God and at the cross being made right with God. We want to be part of something bigger. Well, at the cross, we're brought into God's family, his people that are going to last forever. And we all want hope. In the cross comes hope of that eternity, eternal life with Jesus, hope of living in a world put right. In a world where we look everywhere for wisdom, this is true wisdom, ultimate wisdom, God's wisdom revealed. This is the answer to everything we've been hoping for. But how then is this wisdom revealed to us? How do we get God's wisdom? And I think, as I've said, I think this is Paul's big point in our passage today, and it's our second point, because this wisdom has been hidden. The message of the cross had been hidden. No one had understood it, and it's now been revealed. How do we get this wisdom from God? Well, verse 10, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The mystery of the cross, the truth of God's wisdom. We don't figure it out. We don't discover the mystery like some sort of detective or sleuth. The answer is revealed to us by God himself, by his Spirit. We've already heard about how in the Gospels the mystery of the cross was still hidden, even from Jesus' disciples. You might remember from the Gospel of John, the night before Jesus died, what he said to his disciples. He said, he understood that they still hadn't got it, and he said, you know, I have much more to say to you, but you can't bear it at the moment. I know you haven't got it yet. You haven't understood the mystery. And so what does Jesus say? He says, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Jesus knew his disciples would need the Holy Spirit to understand the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of what he was doing. Now, we never think of the Holy Spirit as two separate from Jesus and from God. God is three in one. God is one. And Jesus said, the Spirit speaks his words and brings glory to him. So they're inherently united. The Spirit is all about Jesus speaking Jesus' words and bringing glory to Jesus, because there is great unity between the Spirit and Jesus, and they're both part of God, the three in one Godhead. And Paul explains it all here, and he explains it a bit here in verse 11. He uses this little analogy. He says, for who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within him? And that's true, it is, isn't it? Who knows someone's thoughts except that person? We could think of a sort of just a normal everyday sort of example. And we're talking about mysteries. You could think of a mystery like the mystery of what I want to have for lunch today. You know, I can think about it. I'm thinking about it right now. Well, that's going to be good, actually. But who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? There's no way of you figuring out the mystery of what I want for lunch today. It's only in my own mind that I'm thinking about it. Now, sometimes we kind of hope that people will understand our own thoughts and what's going on inside our own heads. Say, if we're married, we might hope our spouse will be able to guess exactly what we're thinking and have the perfect lunch idea without us even having to ask. And maybe some of us who are married have learnt that being on the perfect wavelength doesn't always happen, and we have to actually communicate what we're thinking sometimes. But in my experience, generally at the end of the day, if you want to know, want someone to know what you're thinking, you have to tell them, you have to reveal it. And that is what Paul is saying God has done for us. God's Spirit, of course, being God, God's Spirit knows what God is thinking. And this is the Spirit that we have been given. This is the Spirit that has revealed to us God's plan. God, by His Spirit, has revealed to us His wisdom. God, by His Spirit, has revealed to us the mystery of the cross. Now, how does this work? Well, first of all, Jesus had promised that the Spirit would come to His disciples, to those apostles, and that the Spirit would explain to them everything that they needed to know. This is exactly what happened. God's Spirit had been given to the apostles. The Spirit had been given to Paul. This is exactly what Paul says in verse 12. He understands that he and the other apostles who taught with Christ's authority, they had been given the Spirit. Verse 13, he says he understands that the words he's using to teach the Corinthians, including the words that he's writing in this letter, he understands that the words that he is writing are not just words that he's thought of, but they're words of God himself. They're words that have been given to him by the Spirit. So as we read the Bible, as we read words like the words of Paul here, we are not hearing from just another human teacher doing their best to figure things out. We're hearing, as Paul says and as Paul knows, we're hearing words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. As we engage with the Bible and engage with the words that were written by people like Paul, this is God revealing His wisdom to us by His Spirit, the same Spirit who caused these words to be written down in the first place. But of course, the Spirit wasn't the exclusive domain of the apostles. It didn't stop there. The Spirit didn't only come to the apostles. Paul's going to say in the very next chapter that the church is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit now lives in the church. We gather here as God's people, as the church. The Spirit is here with us. He's with us today as we worship God, and he's helping us understand the Bible as we think about it together, and he's encouraging us and pointing us to Jesus. He's speaking through each one of us as we chat to one another and encourage one another and point us to the truth of Christ. And he's also within each one of us as we then go out from here into the world. A few chapters later in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, Paul's going to tell us that our very bodies are also temples of the Holy Spirit, that God's always with us. If we belong to God, the Holy Spirit is in us, in our hearts. But he's also particularly present in his church, here living with his people as we gather together. Now, there's lots we could say about kind of life with the Spirit that's beyond the point of what Paul's talking about today. We could talk about the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit is kind of here in our church, we should expect to be a people who are displaying things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. We could talk about gifts of the Spirit. Paul is going to come back later in 1 Corinthians towards the end of the letter and talk about gifts of the Spirit. And part of that discussion can sometimes be that the Spirit might sometimes do what we might call more dramatic things among us. There might be more dramatic things going on in church life, miracles or amazing revelation or things going on. I think that can be a fantastic demonstration of God's goodness and his work among us. But I think it's fair today, as you look at the point that Paul is trying to make in this passage, and I think it's significant that here Paul is talking about something that's very fundamental, what God's plan that has been here since the beginning of the world. I think it's fair to say that what we're looking at today is most foundational of all, the very central thing that Paul wants to talk about when it comes to life with the Spirit. The thing that is most spiritual is what Paul talks about here, is that the Spirit gives us understanding, helps us to understand God's word. The Spirit who caused God's word to be written down is here with us, helping us understand his word. And even more particularly, the Spirit is helping us understand the mystery that has been hidden. The Spirit is helping us understand the gospel, this wisdom of God found in the message of Christ crucified. That's why, isn't it, Jesus said he would send his Spirit in the first place, to give us that understanding. That's why Paul says that we have the Spirit, to understand the mystery of God's wisdom. Now, it's great as we live in response to the gospel that the Spirit can help us. The Spirit can give us discernment and wisdom to deal with all sorts of things. The Spirit can help us display the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit can help us grow in maturity. We're going to come back and talk about that more next week. It's great if the Spirit chooses to gift us in different ways, and maybe we might even see more miraculous things happening by the Spirit's power sometimes. But all of that is only really a great thing if it comes out of an understanding of what is the Spirit's first priority. If those things are coming out of an understanding of the gospel, and if those things are pointing us ultimately to the goodness of Jesus and what he did on the cross and bringing glory to him, well, that is what the Spirit is on about in the first place. That's why we have the Spirit, so that we can hear God's word, so that we can understand God's word together, and so that we can encourage one another with the Spirit's help. And so that the mystery of the cross, hidden for so long, might become clear to us in its great power. It's by the Spirit and by God's word that the Spirit caused to be written down that we know God's wisdom. Which brings us to our third point, which is one I don't actually have very much to say about, but we said, who is God's wisdom revealed to? Just to say that verse 14 makes it clear that this great wisdom of the cross isn't revealed to everyone. It says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they come only through the Spirit. We can take a couple of things away from this. One is that if we do understand the goodness of the gospel and if we do understand the wisdom of God, it's nothing to brag about. Again, that's already come up in this letter. We can't take credit for figuring it out like we're that super sleuth who's unsolved the ultimate mystery. And for the Corinthians, they shouldn't go bragging about the wisdom that they've found as if they're so wise to have understood the gospel. No, there's nothing to brag about. This understanding has been given to us as a gift by the Spirit. And the other side of this is to then think about those for whom don't understand the message of the cross. Those who think about the message of the cross and think it's not for them or think it's foolish. They just don't see it as true or wise for whatever reason. That could include some of us here who are just kind of here seeking and wondering, but we're not convinced by the message of the cross. And it might include lots of people who know a bit about Christianity, but either just feel negative or just don't quite feel like they get it. One thing to say about the people who might be in this category, and that is that if people like that are to come to know Jesus, it's the Spirit who will need to act. That doesn't mean we need to see the Spirit doing something miraculous, or if this is in your category, you should just wait and not do anything, and suddenly a light might go off in your head, although sometimes people do have those amazing changes. But just to know that as people consider the claims of Jesus and as they decide to believe that he is who they said he said he is, and if people accept the goodness of the cross and if people accept the message of forgiveness, we believe that ultimately that is the Spirit's work in them who's helping them and granting that understanding. And this means we should pray. If we're unsure about Jesus ourselves, we should pray and ask that God might give us his Spirit. Jesus himself said in Luke 11 that God loves to give the Spirit to those who ask for it. And if we know people, friends, family, if we have people who would love to see become Christians and know God, well, then we should pray for them as well, shouldn't we? And we should continue to pray, even if it feels like we've been praying for a very long time. Don't forget that opportunity to come together for prayer tomorrow night. So what is God's wisdom revealed to us? Well, it's the mystery of the cross. And how is it revealed? Well, it's revealed by the Spirit, by God's word, particularly as God's word and the gospel is taught to his church and the Spirit helps us understand it. Who is God's wisdom revealed to? Well, it's revealed to those that the Spirit chooses to reveal the gospel to. And we pray that he reveals it to more and more people. But before we finish, one final question to bring it home. And that is, if we do know the gospel, if we do have the wisdom of God, well, what should we go on doing then? What should we do with it? Paul finishes off today's passage by saying, from verse 15, he says this, he says, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. If we know God's wisdom, if we know the truth of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit with us. That means we have the mind of Christ. That means we have the ability to be discerning, to make good choices about what we consume, about what we do, about what we prioritize. And as we said at the start, there are endless places we can go to look for wisdom and our search for belonging and joy and hope and acceptance. There are so many places we can go to look for those sorts of things. Today's passage, by the way, I don't think it's saying that we can never go and kind of get interested in other sorts of wisdom out there that we might find. Actually, today's passage, I think, is saying quite the opposite. If we have the Spirit, we can make good judgments and be discerning about the wisdom that's out there. I think that means that a healthy level of engaging with some social media is fine, by the way. We just need to be discerning about what we're hearing. Likewise, it's great to listen to books or podcasts or interviews or articles or all those sorts of things. There are all sorts of spheres in life where it's good to search out all sorts of wisdom for all sorts of sources. Likewise, there are all sorts of things we can get involved with that we see the good in. We can get involved with things that are bigger than us, even things like a local walking group or a social club. Or with discernment, we might even choose to get involved in something a bit more serious, like a particular political movement or a charity or a cause that's close to our heart. And of course, we can get involved in fun things to kind of find joy and enjoy God's world. We can get involved in arts or music or sport or dance. There are all sorts of good things that express the goodness of God's creation. But if we're going to be discerning, if we're going to have the mind of Christ as we go out into the world and enjoy those things and learn for those things from those things, we need to understand that none of those other things can provide what we really need at that deep level. It's only the cross that can properly deal with our mess and that sin problem. It's only the cross of knowing Jesus that can bring lasting joy and true contentment. Nothing else we're going to belong to can ever match the significance of belonging to God's eternal people. And nothing else provides hope for beyond this life. It's only the hope of Jesus and resurrection life with him that we have hope for eternity. And so I want to ask you today, do you consider whether this is what you believe? I want to ask you to consider whether this is what you really believe. Do you have this mindset, the mindset of Christ, as you go out into this world? And if this is what you believe, I want to ask you to consider whether what you believe lines up with where you put your energy and what you prioritize. Do you feed your mind with the wisdom of Christ? You see, it is easy to drift. We can know in our head that real wisdom and hope is found here at church. It's found as the Spirit works in us and helps us encourage one another and points us to his word and points us to the truth of the gospel. We can know that in our head and we can believe that. And yet it's so easy, isn't it, to make choices to prioritize other things. You end up with kids dance on Mondays and sport on Tuesdays and family dinner on Wednesdays and social club meeting on Thursdays and Friday I've got to stay home to watch footy and jobs around the house all Saturday and work's busy so I have to get in early. I don't really have any time left to meet with other Christians for encouragement or to take a serving role at church or even to read God's word or to pray. Somehow I do manage to find 2 hours each day to spend on my phone. Don't know how. By the way, I'm mostly talking about me here. And it is hard, isn't it? Life gets busy easily. Calendars fill up and one commitment often leads to another. Sometimes we can feel like our calendars are more in control of us rather than us being in control of our calendar. I think the message we need to hear today, though, is to have a little bit of caution and to beware, because drift happens easily. Whereas one day we're looking to the gospel as our source of hope and meaning and belonging and joy, before long we can wake up realizing that functionally all our time and energy and thoughts are about other things. And if we feel like that is actually becoming more the reality for us, we need to remember the good gift that we have, don't we? The Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to be discerning. We have the ability to make good judgments. And my encouragement would be, as we look to 2026, if we really believe that it's the wisdom of God that we need most of all, and if we really believe that the wisdom of God comes to us by his Spirit as we do life together as a church and encourage one another and hear from his word, well, I wonder if maybe you are thinking that there might be one or two things you want to do differently next year. Maybe one less commitment to give a little bit more headspace. Maybe one more commitment. Maybe get up early and read the Bible with someone else from church and pray before church just once a week. Maybe taking on a new serving role at church because we understand that it's here that the Spirit is working and it's here that the Spirit is pointing people to God's wisdom. It's here that the thing we really need is offered. That's the question I want to ask today. Do we really believe that God's wisdom is what we need? And if we do, are we showing that by prioritizing listening to God's wisdom above and beyond other sources? Are we filling our minds with the wisdom of Christ? And if we believe that God's wisdom is what really matters and what others need too, will we not only have the mind of Christ, but will we also let our hearts be shaped by those priorities, particularly by being involved in what God is doing at church as he works in us and through us by his Spirit. Well, let's finish by praying. We can ask God for his help. After I pray, the youth are going to go out for a discussion with Matt. We're going to get up and sing in thankfulness for Christ, in thankfulness that we know this mystery of the gospel. But let me pray for his help. Let me ask for his help. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the great God who had a great plan for this world even before time began. And we thank you that you chose to reveal this plan to us by your Spirit. We thank you that by your Spirit you caused your word to be written down. We thank you that you've given us the Spirit and that you're with us today by your Spirit, helping to us to understand the mystery of the cross and of the gospel. We thank you for the hope found in Jesus. We thank you for the joy found in Jesus. We thank you for the forgiveness found in Jesus. And we thank you that in Jesus, we are united with your people throughout all time and throughout the world. We thank you for this gift. And we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.